think one of the most compelling things about it is that everyone around the world has a voice instantaneously, and it can be received by anyone in real time. So the challenge for the technology, speaking from a technology standpoint, is to make sure that we're always surfacing the most relevant information in a timely manner. That's a hard challenge. It's never been done before.
Well, you know, one of the things I think is interesting about Twitter, when you look at other social networking sites like Facebook, for example, Twitter hasn't changed all that much in terms of what it offers, in terms of the features. What was the motivation behind starting it?
The motivation behind starting it was I had this fascination with cities and wanted to see what was happening in them. So I got into dispatch, couriers, taxis, 911. So I could see these ambulances and fire trucks and taxis and black cars roaming around the city. And the idea was, what if we could take that same model but also bring it to citizens, to people? So what are they doing? Where are they going? And what do they care about? So now with Twitter, we have a sense of the entire world. So I can actually see not only what's happening in around the world, but also what the world cares about right now.
What was the reason behind the 140-character limit?
We wanted to build a technology that reached every single person on the planet. And in order to do that, the lowest common denominator technology was a mobile phone, SMS-capable phone. For SMS, you can go up to about 160 characters. And we took 20 characters out for the username and for some syntax, and we arrived at 140 characters. What that means is someone in Kenya with a $2 cell phone can participate in the same conversation that you can in the United States, which is amazing. The creative constraint is we believe that constraint inspires more creativity. So if I give you a paintbrush and ask you to paint a blank white wall, you might feel a little bit intimidated and you might not do it. But if I give you that same paintbrush and a business card and ask you to make a mark on it, you'd be happy to. So that constraint of the canvas allows people to be freer, it allows people to be more of the moment and put a mark out there and not have to worry about it.
You're at the University of Illinois to talk about Square, another service, a mobile payment service. Mm-hmm. What was the motivation behind starting it?
So my co-founder, Jim McKelvey, is a glass artist in St. Louis, Missouri, and he sells glass art for $2,000. He was at an art fair one day, and a woman wanted to buy a piece of his art, and he couldn't accept credit cards, so he lost that sale, and she never came back. $2,000. So that's really meaningful for an artist. And we looked at it, and we said, well, that should be easy to do, and we took a month, and we built a program, and we built some hardware, and then we built a company around it because we really believed in giving people access to the payment rails. No one is carrying cash anymore. No one is carrying a checkbook. Everyone is carrying a plastic card around, meaning that if you can't accept that form of payment, then you don't get paid. It's as simple as that, and that means that you can't start the business that you want because you are locked out of that world completely. And they were literally locked out. So we made it as easy as downloading an application called Square, and you sign up. We send you a free credit card reader in the mail, and you can start accepting credit cards as soon as you get it. You just swipe the card. It goes right into your phone and goes into your bank account the next day. So you can use that money immediately, which is also unheard of in the credit card industry. Normally it takes about a week to get your money.
You're at the University of Illinois to potentially grow this service. So can you talk about why you're at the University of Illinois recruiting?
Well, I've always admired this school. I'm from St. Louis, and the school is not only a great engineering school in the Midwest, but also it's a legacy in our industry. The reason that I've been able to build the companies that I've been able to build is because of the people that came out of the school, people that were taught of the school, things that were invented within the school. So we're definitely standing on the shoulders of giants, and you know, we want to give back as well.
So what kind of ideas are you hearing from the students and the teachers, and how is that going to inform your decisions as the CEO of Square?
All the students here and all the professors here have a very unique perspective in that, you know, when you're building a company or any organization, you tend to take things for granted, and they can give you an entirely new, fresh perspective. Money is a concept that has been with us for 5,000 years, touches every single person on the planet at least once a day, and every single person on the planet at some point in their life feels bad about it. It doesn't have to be that way. So we want to fix that, and we're here to ask for some ideas, but also ask for people to join us and help us fix that.
One of the concerns with Square is that there could be abuses with it. You transfer somebody's credit card information, it gets out there, and it could be available to a third party like a hacker. How are you going about addressing that issue?
Well, first and foremost, security is our number one concern. So when a card is swiped, it's immediately encrypted. It goes up to the credit card network. It doesn't stay on the phone. So nothing stays with the merchant. Nothing stays on Square servers. It goes straight to the credit card. It's processed, and then we're done with it. So there's no opportunity for that sort of theft or that sort of fraud. But also we have lots of information. We're constantly watching the network to make sure that fraud doesn't happen. And this, you know, this is something that constantly has to evolve. But like any other financial institution, we are bound to the exact same regulations and the exact same compliance. So every 6 months, we're audited by the same people that audit JP Morgan Chase, and we pass.
You have Twitter, you have Square. What's next for you?
That's it. So I'm sticking with these two. Communication and commerce are pretty fundamental aspects in this world. And if you fix issues with communication and you fix issues with commerce, you fix a whole host of other things. For instance, healthcare. We have tons of doctors and nurses on Square, and they're using it to do house calls. They're using it at their home offices. And what this means is patients can pay them directly, and the doctors get the money right away to build their own practice instead of waiting for the health insurance industry to pay them, which often happens 6 months to a year after, which is a terrible experience, and it also costs the patient more. So going direct doctor to patient and having that payment right there is extremely efficient, and it allows the doctor to focus on what's most important and what matters most, which is the patient's health.